It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running, whirling away, as Brother Deacon Asa says, at a pretty good stick on both streams. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where we live. That's where you go. If you would like to jump into the chat room, be a part of the merry, madcap, zany, wacky, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the chat room during the hours in which this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm very happy because we've got a week of fundraising-free radio, and I'm excited about that. Nothing to do but thank our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to Jason, and thanks as well to Pam up in Washington. Thanks also going out to Samson and to Josh. And to James, thank you all five of our subscribers for this 24th day of the month. And thanks also to Terrace for bumping his subscription up over at Patreon. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you. And that's how we keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers and everybody else who contributes during the month. Thank you very kindly. And that's the end of fundraising. Well, it wasn't fundraising to begin with. It's fundraising-free week. And it's also Morion Monday, the 24th of September, 2018. And I know what's been in the news all day long. I've been watching it all day long. So, we'll probably, doubtless we will be talking about it. But, like I said, it's also it's Morion Monday. Yes.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Morion Monday on the Horn. Yes, here, just a few steps away from the main Carnival Midway, this thin cybernetic veil of canvas holds behind it all the Morions you could ever possibly want, if you even want to see or hear them. That's right, we've got them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, republicans, trumpansies, maggots, Morons, one and all, here for your amazement and your delectation and, okay, so your disgust, too. Why spend time throwing ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls in the vain hope of winning a little baby iguana when you can come over here and peer beyond the cybernetic veil of canvas and see all that is the Republican perfidy, the conservative skullduggery that is on display for any given Monday. You can't tell the program, you can't tell the Morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morons. You just can't tell them much.
Oh, no. But, it's all here for you each and every Monday on the Horn. Yes. So, a word of warning goes out before you step into the Moran Monday tent. Keep a close hand on wallets, purses, watches, jewelry, necklaces, children, pets. Yes, even the iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls, and especially European messenger bags, because, well, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, you will. You so will. We're gonna. There's no getting around it. And like I said, I know what we're going to be talking about this evening. I know what everybody's talking about this evening. But before we go there, a little moment of mirth and merriment and, let's call it, lighthearted moranity. Shall we? Yes, do let's. Stop. Enough with the calliope there. Yeah, no more calliope. We go now to New York City and to the United Nations, where Julius Geezer, in an attempt, a vain attempt, I might add, to seem remotely statesmanlike, addressed the question of Colombia. Yes, Colombia. It's just a short clip, but it's precious. Take it away, Chlamydia Claudius.
We look forward to partnering with his new administration to eradicate cocoa production in his country.
Yes. Yes. Julius Geezer is going to, on behalf of the United States, help to eradicate cocoa production. Ah, yeah, in Colombia. Don't know what they're going to do about the coca production, but the cocoa production is all set to be Agent Oranged or paraquatted or God only knows what. Has anybody told the folks at Hershey's? Cocoa production. That crazy little bastard really is barely literate. Cocoa production. You heard it. That wasn't messed with. He was attempting to read from a script. And so it leads us to a Moran inquiry, I suppose. That's right, Steve in New York. No more chocolate from Colombia. Oh, the humanity, says Steve in New York. Yes. I know. No more Godiva, no more Hershey's, no more Dove, no more Belgian chocolate, Swiss, no more Swiss Miss. I know. But here's the inquiry. Since he was reading from a script, did whoever prepare that for him say, I don't know, somebody in UN Ambassador Nikki Haley's office? You remember Nikki Haley, the woman who got conned by the Moscow FM 95.3 Morning Zoo crew into believing that they were the president of Poland? Who got her all worked up about the nascent controversy regarding the island nation of Bonomo? Yeah, that Nikki Haley. So was it somebody in Nikki Haley? Maybe Nikki Haley herself? Ooh, or is it a Moran conspiracy? Because just earlier today I was reading a story about how maybe Nikki Haley might run against Donald Trump in 2020. Wouldn't that be a nefarious thing for her to do? Set him up to make it look like he doesn't know the difference between cocoa and coca? And just type it right there on the page, cocoa. I know. Lee, also in New York. No cocoa? Oh, fudge. Well played. About a half a ding there, the cowbell, yes. Like I said before, he can't trust anybody. So is it an underling? Was it written C-O-C-O-A? Or was it written C-O-C-A? And he just naturally assumed that someone there couldn't spell Coco because he's a great speller. He has is a very stable genius. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about time we did this, though. When I think about all those grannies out there getting precious little ones hooked on hot, steaming, rich cups of cocoa during the dead of winter. Oh, evil grannies, evil, standing there, sometimes not even making it from a powdered envelope, but actually mixing the white granular death we know as sugar with cocoa powder and getting it all mixed together and adding in a little bit of water to make a syrup of it and boiling it. Bringing it to a boil until it's rich and then adding the milk, adding the half and half until it becomes rich and silky and velvety and not letting it come to a boil, no, because that'll scald the milk. And then pouring it into mugs and sometimes even sprinkling miniature marshmallows onto it and handing it to little children to get them hooked. Yeah, kid, the first one's free. Well, by God, we're making America great again, and we're going to eradicate that Colombian cocoa production because the very stable genius says we are. Yes. Ron in Raleigh wants to know, should I'm running a little low on cocoa powder. Should I lay in a supply since cooler weather is coming on? Cocoa with mini marshmallows? Yum. Is he going to eradicate marshmallows too? Well, marshmallows are just a gateway drug to cocoa, Ron. Don't you understand? Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm pretty sure that wasn't a trap. That's just Trump being the idiot that Trump is. After all, I imagine he tried snorting coke one time and nearly drowned. Wait a minute. There. All better. But I figured we needed a moment or two of levity before we dove into the various and sundry manifestations of slime and filth. And I hate being as right as I am sometimes. This isn't that Rush Limbaugh. My friends with half my brain tied behind my back and the other half on OxyContin. No. Thank you kindly to our buddy Steve from Georgistan. Sounding great on the Xbox TuneIn app. Thank you very kindly, and glad to know you've had good news, Steve. Glad to know. Keep getting better, brother. Last Friday, in what was can only be described as a rollicking Friday on the front porch, I noted that with the New York Times story coming out about Rod Rosenstein allegedly suggesting Trump should be 25th Amendmented and suggesting he'd wear a wire, that it would provide cover for various and sundry Republicans who up until that point in time had said that Rod Rosenstein must not be touched, to back away from it and hide from it. And lo and behold, it was all there. It was all there on display. And over the course of the day, there's been reporting out that the weekend saw the Trump administration trying to figure out a way to make their Kavanaugh problem go away. And that, according to sources speaking to Gabe Sherman at Vanity Fair, the Carotene Claudius came up with,
hey, I know what. I'll fire Rod Rosenstein this weekend, and that'll take all the heat off of poor Brett Kavanaugh. His name's being dragged through the mud just because he got a little rapey when he was young. You know, who doesn't get a little rapey when they're a young man? All that testosterone. I mean, I've been getting rapey up into my 60s, and sometimes you're just too much of a man to seek consent. No, wait, I would never use a sentence like that. That's grammatically structured and no.
But really? And so what looks to have been a Fed story about a sarcastic remark that Rod Rosenstein, Republican, remember, made. Rod Rosenstein, who's been sitting just back of Brett Kavanaugh, who was sitting there during the confirmation hearings. That Rod Rosenstein. It was apparently a planted story from the White House to try to sucker them into getting Kavanaugh off the front page. That's not working. And so I got up this morning to the news that, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, Rod Rosenstein's going to the White House. Well, Rod Rosenstein goes to the White House for the principals meeting about every Monday. But the White House had tried to plant the notion that he was going there to get to resign. He was going to go and resign. And some members of the for-profit media took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. And then swam off into the deeps with it. Well, it turned out he didn't get fired and he didn't resign. He had, in fact, said, no, they'll have to fire me. I won't resign. And along the way, for-profit media got it big wrong. But he's still got a... but Trump is, you know... The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is nothing if not consistently an idiot. And so I'm going to have a meeting with Rod Rosenstein, Stone. I'm going to have a meeting with him this Thursday when that slut's testifying over there in the Senate. So y'all pay attention to me, okay? It's all about me. It has to be about me. Well, if he fires Rod Rosenstein, it's going to get real interesting real fast. Because whoever replaces him will have to be confirmed by the Senate. If Rosenstein resigned, then some hack or flack could just be moved into position. It's going to be an awfully interesting week. Oh, yeah. You know, that's a great question. Isaac wants to know, does the eradication of Colombian Coco, does that take into account all the strippers also named Coco as well? If somebody tells Trump that, he won't be so sure he wants to do the whole... you're going to hell for that, Isaac. But the media got so thoroughly fished between the Rosenstein story and then the Rosenstein's going to resign story, completely suckered. Pulled right into it was just stenography. And you gotta wonder about the editorial process over there at the New York Times. Does nobody at the New York Times understand how difficult? Because we did this, we went over this on the program a couple of weeks back, maybe. How difficult it is to trigger Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. I heard poor Mrs. Greenspan trying to explain it earlier today, and she got close, but she kind of had it bass-ackwards. It all has to start with the vice president. He has to sign the damn letter. And then if you're going to remove the president, you got to have two-thirds of both houses of Congress, not just a two-thirds vote to convict in the Senate like you do with impeachment. So did nobody at the New York Times look at that and go, what serious FBI guy would even say that, knowing that there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell of ever getting the number of people, department heads, together to reach that agreement and then sell it to God's anointed Mike Pence? How could that be said in anything other than a sarcastic voice? Beats me. But, you know, they fell for it. And if you ever wanted an example of, you can take the host out of Fox News, but you can't take the Fox News out of the host. Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly, who went over to, was paid an obscene amount of money to leave Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and go and ply her trade at NBC. Like I said, you can take the host out of Fox, but you can't take the Fox out of the host. She had a low-grade shit hemorrhage on the Today Show this morning. A panel discussion on, rapey Brett Kavanaugh. And it didn't go too well.
What a mess. Yeah, what a mess. Thank you. That's a clean version of what I was thinking in my head. President Trump just weighed in on this over at the UN, called these latest allegations, quote, totally political. And that is what this whole debate has become.
Really? Millions and millions of dollars to declare that a debate over whether a Supreme Court justice nominee has a past history of trying to rape women. It's totally political. And of course, and Megan agrees. You notice Trump said it's totally political, not that it was totally untrue. Oh, yes, there's music in the silences between the notes, too, isn't there? Very much so.
Whether you believe these women or you don't, it's become completely political because it's a Supreme Court confirmation hearing. It's not like a regular Me Too allegation.
Just exactly what is a regular Me Too allegation? I've listened to this clip several times, and I stop there every time, trying to. Is that like back a couple of few years ago when we were having a discussion occasioned by some Republican ideas of what constituted legitimate rape or forcible rape? What is a regular Me Too moment? Is that where a woman gets grabbed, but not? I don't want to go into the graphics of it. A regular Me Too moment.
Why, Mr. Douglas, that's just a regular Me Too moment. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. These have come up in the context of a Supreme Court confirmation proceeding. And so same way when Roy Moore was accused, those women were accused of being political operatives. That's what's happening to these women.
But the only people making these allegations are scumbag Republicans. We have examples. And when I say scumbag Republicans, I really mean scumbag Republicans. Let's see. I had him here a minute ago. How about scumbag Orrin Hatch? Because he is one. Who is more worried about the Senate's dignitas than he is about whether a nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States is a rapey guy. Orrin Hatch says that the Senate and the Supreme Court are being demeaned through what he calls partisan games and transparent attempts at character assassination. We should hear from Dr. Ford on Thursday as planned, then we should vote. Well, they wanted to vote earlier this week. And in fact, as of yesterday, the allegations came out from Ms. Ramirez about the time that Brett Kavanaugh put his dick in her face. Sorry, it's just what he did. And that even though everybody was getting drunk and she was drunk, she knew she didn't want that. And somehow or another, him doing that to her is character assassination against him. Are these old white male Republicans that clueless that they cannot see what a nasty bit of business they're doing? I'm having a heck of a good time with my new dictionary. And I went and looked up, just on a lark. It occurred to me when I was reading these things that these Republicans are saying to look up the word depravity. Because, for starters, the acts of Brett Kavanaugh are acts of depravity. But so too are the responses of these Republican senators who, by God, want him on the Supreme Court, hell or high water. And who cares if he's guilty or not? Who cares if he, and not even the word guilty, who cares if he did it or not? It was a long time ago. For all we know, maybe once upon a time, Orrin Hatch put his dick in the face of, I don't know, Theodore Roosevelt's daughter or something. That's an age joke, not a sex joke. But I looked up depravity, a corrupt act or practice, the quality or state of being corrupt, evil, or perverted, the quality or state of being depraved. So you kind of have to find out, you got to go and sort out depraved. Marked by corruption or evil. See also perverted. What? why not just have done with it all and say Republican? I mean, I wish I was shocked by this vile business. Precious Lindsay from under the fainting couch there is saying, what do we expect? What are we going to ruin this man's life over this? Over why, heavens, but my stars and garters. Oh, okay, a little help coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. A regular Me Too moment is when your greasy slime ball of a boss at Fox News asks you if you're wearing panties under that skirt. You savvy? Yes, yeah, Roger. That would be your Roger Ailes, regular Me Too. Mm-hmm, exactly. Hope you're wearing panties under there. Let's see. Alexander is now officially upset. Now it's really personal. Fucking with my cocoa supply? Pissing me off? That's the kind of shit that makes me want to go Incredible Hulk Herman Munster on someone. Ooh, not Super Saiyan. Yeah. Right. Senator Hatch is just terribly upset. Dadgummit. The Senate's being demeaned by the fact that Democrats don't want to confirm a rapist to the Supreme Court. And the remarks of Chinless Mitch McConnell earlier today in the well of the Senate further confirmed me in my atheism. Because if there was any kind of deity out there, there wouldn't have been anything left of Mitch McConnell after he got done yakking today. To wit.
Democrats began looking, and now they're calling for even further delays and further obstruction over a second decades-old allegation that is so thin and so unsupported that the New York Times refused to even run a story about it.
Did he really refer to the allegation as thin? I don't think I'd call something thin in a story about, say, Brett Kavanaugh putting his penis in the face of an unconsenting female. That's like me saying the Republicans have found themselves in a sticky situation.
This claim is so dubious that the New York Times passed on the story entirely after looking into it. Here's why the New York Times declined to publish. Quote, interviewed several dozen people over the past week in an attempt to corroborate her story and could find no one with firsthand knowledge. Not one person with firsthand knowledge to support the allegation.
You know, except the woman making the allegation. She's got some first-hand knowledge. Not really hand. She's got knowledge. Jesus, what a bunch of slippery, slimy, scummy, filthy.
But rather multiple on-the-record denials again. The Times also reported that the claimant said she herself is uncertain of her claim. That's the New York Times, whose credo is all the news that's fit to print. And it found this latest last-minute allegation not even fit to print. Oh, but that hadn't stopped Judiciary Committee Democrats from shoveling it into their smear campaign and demanding for further delays.
You mean like a 200-and-some-odd day delay there, Mitch? You fucking hypocrite. you, miserable little corn pone piece of... Yeah. Delay. But again, you'll notice the absence of lightning bolts. I think in the background there is old Oral Hatch. Steve asking, is it me or has Hatch gone from smarmy to prickish asshole? He's always been a prickish asshole. He was a prickish asshole when he was sliming Anita Hill. A note from Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. When you say scumbag Republican, you're going to have to be a bit more specific. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York says, I'm going to finally go out on a limb here. Given the apparent panic of the GOP with hurrying up Bart O'Kavanaugh and the stunt they pulled today, make no mistake about it, the Rosenstein thing was a trial balloon, I think the Democrats are going to take back the Senate. Well, we'll jot that down, Steve, September the 24th, 2018. And I hope you're right. And then I hope they make it stick. But, you know, there's always that issue of Democrats actually being Democrats. We've got it that we need to take power away from Mitch McConnell, make no mistake about it. But then we've got to have the Democrats act with unity, you know, like the Republicans do. Which means teaching people like Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Donnelly and Claire McCaskill to, well, be Democrats. Alexander noting, McConnell is a bald-faced liar. In fact, he knows that this is not the truth. That's exactly why he was a cog in the wheel to deny and prevent Dr. Ford from presenting witnesses to testify on her behalf. Absolutely. And the fact that, now he's not talking about it in his little conniption there, but the White House and the Senate Judiciary Committee, which, you know, too also McConnell, knew that Ms. Ramirez was coming forward. And they tried to accelerate the process to get the thing done today. So knowing full well that there was going to be another allegation of sexual violence conduct perpetrated by Brett Kavanaugh, they tried to ramrod it and get past it before it could break. Well, they failed. And having failed, they had to try to explain it away.
They kept this one secret from Republicans, too, by the way. Evidently, several Democratic offices knew of this allegation for at least a week.
And so did he. God Almighty, you just sit there and lie, and nothing happens to you. Oh, no, that's not old Oral back behind him. That's John Cornhole, or Cornyn.
But like with Dr. Ford's claim, they sat on this one, too. So the committee could not take any proper action. They just wanted it to wind up.
Maybe it is Oral. I'm not sure. I only got about half his head to work with, but then again, so does he.
In the press. Another orchestrated last-minute hit on the nominee. And now they're acting like it's a legitimate reason to lay things... to delay things even further. As though they hadn't already announced themselves as completely opposed to this nomination anyway.
Well, I tell you what, those crocodile tears sure do fall hard and fast, don't they? Oh, wait, here's slimy old Oral. Oh, yeah.
As I've said before, every accuser deserves to be heard. Moreover, a person who has committed sexual assault
and then ignored
should not serve on the United States Supreme Court. But the way my Democratic colleagues have approached these allegations makes clear that the driving objective here is not the truth, but politics.
You know, that's kind of a slippery slope, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because he just stated that politics and truth are mutually exclusive. What about politics and facts? You'll notice he talks about truth, not facts. And the facts may prove to be unassailable. And now it's not just Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez. It's Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez and somebody that Michael Avenatti represents. And not just Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez and somebody Michael Avenatti represents, but Dr. Ford, Ms. Ramirez, somebody Michael Avenatti represents, and somebody who has made a report to law enforcement authorities in Montgomery County, Maryland. We may be up to 10 by tomorrow. And the allegations start off with him putting his hand over Chrissy, she was known as Chrissy then, Blasey's mouth, turning the stereo up louder so she couldn't be heard screaming, knocking her down drunkenly and pawing at her, trying to get her clothes off, to freshman year at Yale when he's putting his penis in the face of an intoxicated girl. And if Michael Avenatti is to be believed, being part of a group of people who set up what in the vernacular is known as gangbangs. Now, that's the meaning of the term back before outraged white people started referring to gangbangers as people who, you know, belong to gangs and shoot people with firearms. No, the older meaning of the term is forcible group sex between a number of men and one woman. See also pulling a train. Jesus, this is filthy. But Michael Avenatti says he has evidence through a vetted witness that Kavanaugh participated in such a group. And that there's a remark in his yearbook about the multiple F's 4th of July. And that all those F's stand for find 'em, finger 'em, fuck 'em, and forget 'em. I'm going to have to shower with bleach after the program. Alexander noting, by the way, Brother Kincaid, people, boys, girls, men, women, seriously need to stop with the bullshit utilization of the time factor to nullify Dr. Ford's coming forth. It would not have mattered at Tinkerbell's moment in hell if she did so 36 years ago or today. the outcome would still be exactly the same because the country have no love, regard, respect, appreciation, admiration, nor consideration for our wonderful, incredible girls and women. Please go somewhere with all that bullshit. But the goddamn Republicans, well, they're not upset about a woman or several women possibly having been raped or attempted raped. They're upset because they're not going to get their political way back to Orrin Hatch.
Rather than working with Republican colleagues to investigate Dr. Ford's allegations, they sat on them for 6 weeks until the eve of Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation vote.
And until he had completely impeached himself by denying anything having to do with anything, which is when you bring out the impeachment evidence. That's a bunch of lawyers on that Senate Judiciary Committee, including old Oral here. And you don't impeach credibility on the front end. You let the witness lie his ass off, and then you prove the witness to be a liar. There's really no other way of doing it. And Oral knows that, but being a Republican, he does not have a working relationship with truth-telling.
And then make them to the press. Rather than bringing last night's allegations to the attention of committee investigators, they back-channeled them to the media and then denied any involvement.
And there's Oral lying some more because they knew last week. And why would you take it to Republican investigators in the Judiciary Committee when you know from jump that the Republican investigators in the Judiciary Committee will simply try to make it go away? Committee investigators? Bullshit. What you do is you take it to the FBI. And Oral could do that, or old Chuck Grassfed. We need to reopen the investigation just like we did in 1991. But no. Just no.
Such underhanded tactics are not fair to Judge Kavanaugh, are not fair to the individuals in the stories, and are not fair to the American people.
Oh, get out the world's tiniest violin.
Both the Senate and the Supreme Court, through their partisan games and transparent attempts at character assassination.
Games. Trying to find out what happened in regard to allegations of rape is a game to Orrin Hatch. You know who's out there right now really wishing that Orrin Hatch would shut the fuck up? A guy named Bishop Willard Romney. Because if Orrin keeps running his mouth, he's gonna wind up putting Bishop Willard in a corner. And then Bishop Willard's ascension to the Senate in November to replace old Oral might actually be in jeopardy if there's anybody with a pulse running against him on the Democratic ticket. And we know that Bishop Willard doesn't handle things like this any better than Oral does, because he'll probably have to come out and say, rapists are people too, my friends. Human beings, my friends. Darlene in Connecticut says, Orrin and Mitch sound like they're running a bit scared to me, Bob. They don't sound as cocky confident as they did last week. Uh-uh. They're feeling the need to roll out all the stops now. Surprised it took this long for the other women to come out. My sense all along was that what Brett and Marky did to Chrissy was not a one-off, but part and parcel of a certain asshole prep school boy culture of vicious, domineering, and hateful behavior toward girls. Perfectly expressed. Which reminds me, I got an email earlier today. I got an internet. It's not a big truck. I got an internet today from a friend over in the Montgomery County, Maryland area. Are you trying to conjure me, Bob? My lovely wife started teaching in MoCo in 1985. Several points to know. One, it was common knowledge that kids ended up in private schools when they had gotten in trouble in public school. Two, I still don't understand why anyone would need to send their children to private school in this area. Even the weakest schools are in or very near the top 500 in the U.S., according to annual AP-based indexing. Three, the singular best academic program in MoCo starting in about 1990 is the IB program at Richard Montgomery. It's spent a lot of time in the top 10 programs in the U.S. and among IB schools worldwide. The 2005 class had an average SAT 2 part score of 1525. You'd love the program there, Bob. It's liberally focused in the European mold. Then you get the science and math magnet at Montgomery Blair. It's in the competitive neighborhood of the state magnet school TJ in Nova. There is a mindset of elitism that surrounds going to the private schools. The preppy thing that I hated even among University of Maryland Greeks. And in local Catholic households, there appears to be a desire for Catholic education. One of our former neighbors sent their daughters to an all-girls Catholic school, then complained when they weren't pushed as hard as they could have handled in math. The top-tier public schools in MoCo, Churchill, Walter Johnson, Whitman, and Wooten, are pretty darned elitist and full of plenty of well-off families. The Booster Club at Churchill spent $80,000 on their stadium, even though their football team hasn't been a serious competitor for nearly three decades. So that gives you the note closes. I don't get it, and I probably never will. But there was a culture there. And Mark Judge? Marky? He's never quit being who he was. The confessional book about being a teenage alcoholic notwithstanding, he has since closed out a bunch of his accounts, but the internet tends to remember things, and he has a predilection, even at his age, you know, 50-ish, of taking photos of young girls, objectifying them. Even this summer, taking a photograph of a couple of girls in bikinis hula hooping at a pool party and putting it on Facebook. And then he writes that business about the power of male passion or some such drivel as that. You get the idea. But, you know, it's not a regular Me Too moment. No. And Megyn Kelly knows.
I don't know. The latest report in The New Yorker, the woman Deborah Ramirez admits she hesitated to come forward because she had such large gaps in her memory. She said she took 6 days of carefully assessing her memories and consulting with her attorney and then decided to talk. She said two male students who she named were present and would back her up. They contacted them. They say they have no memory of it. And this is, as Blasey Ford, she identified four people who were at her alleged party with Brett Kavanaugh. Not one has backed her up. All have denied it, including this woman, Leland Kaiser, I think it's a woman, who is a friend of Christine Ford's and a Democrat, who said, I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
Yeah, there's a difference. Did you notice Megan desperately wanted to say it didn't happen, but that's not what the woman said. She has no recollection of it. And is it any surprise really, is it any surprise? Because the right wing, well, in our country, the white wing does things like shoot up schools, movie theaters, issue death threats. They've got a lot of guns. And anybody who does what Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez and whoever the third and fourth and women are, anybody who does that does so knowing full well that some Republican may very well murder them for having the temerity to open their mouths and speak truth to power. But, yeah, Megan, just, it's turned to politics.
So where does that leave us now? Because we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right. And, you know, we talk about this being politicized in part because it hasn't followed normal process, normal procedure, which would be to take these allegations to the Senate Judiciary Committee, where they have bipartisan investigators that do this for all judicial nominees to look into their background. We're getting this as 11th hour accusations. I think they need to be investigated. I think that all of the people involved need to be asked very careful questions. We've heard enough from pundits and politicians now. I think we need to hear from the people involved. I say move forward. Hear from them. So all of us as Americans, this is our Supreme Court. These are our nominees. This is our law of the land that we can assess and judge for ourselves.
But should we just hear from them, or should we have an independent investigation? And I think that is a question that is with us right now. We're looking forward to a hearing on Thursday that is shaping up to be a he said, she said, with no investigation into these claims. Now, a second set of claims. Should we have an independent investigation of some kind?
Well, but here's the thing, Joy, and I really want viewers in our audience to understand this in terms of investigation. What the FBI does is they go into someone's background, they ask people around them, from their, you know, elementary school teacher to their babysitter, everything about, they have this very thick file of top, what should be top secret information in terms of background.
Is this person a national security
right.
threat is what they're trying to figure out. They're not trying to figure out all your bad
right.
deeds.
And the FBI,
they're not a super secret special police force to investigate super secret really bad things the nominee may have done. That's why
right.
we have congressional investigators.
And
the Republicans actually
the
are
senators.
Investigating the Christine Blasey Ford
yes.
Allegations, and the Democrats have refused to do so. They're standing there in protest saying the FBI needs to do it, which doesn't really help us. She's going to show up and testify, maybe. She says it looks like she
right.
may. It's not guaranteed. But the Republicans now are suggesting this was all a head fake, that she's actually not going to be there on Thursday, that the Democrats, she's represented by Democrat operatives. These Democratic operatives, these lawyers are very political who she chose.
A former lawyer who helped advise Anita Hill, for example.
One of her lawyers denied that it was sexual harassment when Bill Clinton allegedly exposed himself to Paula Jones.
Let's see. It only took 3 minutes and 55 seconds out of an 8 minute and 28 second clip for her to get to Bill Clinton. Wonder how much longer before the Ted Kennedy reference comes up. Because, see, that's what they got. Well, y'all did, so we get to two. Bill Clinton got impeached. Ted Kennedy was hounded to the day he died. Alexander asked, why is this woman bald-faced lying about everything that comes out of her mouth? Because, like I said, Alexander, you can take the person out of Fox, but you can't take the Fox out of the person. A dog returneth ever to its vomit.
That woman saw sexual harassment very differently when the accused was a Democrat. All right, so Christine Blasey Ford did herself no favor.
Now, understand, idiot Megyn Kelly has a law degree. She knows how lawyers work. you work for your client, not for the issue. And I don't see her having a fit here because there are people who were in on the, defending Bill Clinton who are now advising Julius Geezer. But that wouldn't be convenient, would it?
By aligning with these partisan operatives, in my view, she should have found apolitical lawyers who could have helped her navigate this.
In all fairness, Brett Kavanaugh also...
Yeah, maybe...
Whether you believe...
Maybe she could have gotten in touch with Roy Moore and got one of their seen if Kayla could have recommended one of their Jew lawyers. Jesus. Right.
And allegedly exposed himself to Paula Jones. That woman saw sexual harassment very differently when the accused was a Democrat. All right, so Christine Blasey Ford did herself no favors by aligning with these partisan operatives, in my view. She should have found apolitical lawyers who could have helped her navigate this.
In all fairness, Brett Kavanaugh also saw things differently in the Clinton investigation. I mean, his positions have changed as well.
What do you mean? What are you saying?
Kavanaugh...
What do you mean? She knows. Kavanaugh wanted to ask every filthy question he could come up with of Bill Clinton and now doesn't think that presidents should be questioned at all. That's what he means, Meg.
Thought that these were impeachable offenses. He was very clear about the Ken Starr
investigation. He's saying he didn't do it, Joe. He's not saying that those allegations against him amount to nothing
I'm just saying the positions on both sides have changed over time.
Absolutely not. You have no evidence for that, none whatsoever. What he's saying is he didn't do.
He just gave you the evidence, little nutmeg.
The thing he's being accused of, he's not trying to justify it if it's proven. Go ahead, Hallie.
Well, I think what you might be referring to is some of the memos that he wrote back when he was working on the Kenneth Starr investigation, specifically about Bill Clinton, which he has then distanced himself from and said his views have evolved over time. Not speaking at all to this direct allegation, but Megan, you started the show talking about politics in this. And let me tell you, based on my reporting from the other job that I do over at the White House, the president you are seeing, you will see this week, a different tone from this White House than you have seen before. Remember, for 5 days after the Christine Blasey Ford allegation first came out, a week ago now, the president, the White House largely stayed out of it. They let the Senate Judiciary Committee deal with it.
Thought it was a miracle he held his fire.
This is a change overnight. We have seen the White House now come out more aggressively against both of these accusers. The president is already talking about it. By the way, when he's here for an event that has nothing to do with domestic politics.
No, he's getting ready to fight. Look, he can fight because it's his... But the way in which he chose to fight was completely Trumpian last week and utterly diminishing of all victims of sexual assault.
Wow, she can't even say disgusting. Because it was. It was disgusting.
We don't know whether Christine Blasey Ford is such a victim, okay? That must be stated. In my view, the Me Too movement does not mean all women must be believed. All women must get a fair hearing. They must be listened to with an open mind. But it is also true that I believe is my own belief.
But then we have to put the rapist on the Supreme Court because I've still got Fox in my head.
Believe that the vast majority of women who come forward with these allegations are telling the truth because they have such skin in the game if they do this and it's not true. But some lie. And we've seen that. Let's have an open, fair hearing and let the people make up their minds after they hear her testify and him, too. He, too, is entitled to due process.
I do want to back up your point there that I think that this is also a test of the Me Too movement.
It's funny. Megan didn't get this way back when it was, because we two can play this game. She didn't get all bent out of shape when Roger Stone announced that the rat fuck was on for Al Franken, and when Leanne Tweeden conspired with a couple of white wing assholes in media in Los Angeles to try to bring him down. Nope, Megan was crickets back then.
Can it be fair to all parties involved? Mm-hmm. And
if we go too far and deny due process right. in a case like this where you have a Supreme Court seat at issue and politics clearly are at play because people feel so strongly about issues like abortion and so on that the Supreme Court will weigh in on, what does that do to the Me Too movement?
It politicizes it and it diminishes claims coming forward. I think that is a real risk, what we're seeing in the next week.
Kellyanne Conway said this morning, an advisor to the president, a senior advisor in the White House, she said, I don't know, and I'm paraphrasing her remarks, she said, I don't know that one man's shoulders should bear the weight of the Me Too movement. And that gives you a prism, I think, into the thinking inside the West Wing as to how they view that as it relates to this sort of broader societal cultural moment.
Yeah, because I guess Brett Kavanaugh's like Jesus or something. Right? Steve in New York noting, I can't resist. So, if the New York Times had printed it, Trump would call it fake news. Yes. No firsthand witnesses? You mean like Jesus? As Mike Malloy would put it, have I told you lately how much I hate these people? It's just all so filthy. Can the Republican Party not find any, I mean, first Clarence Thomas, now this, can they not find anybody who doesn't have a nasty little perv problem? And now they're going to trot, now they've trotted Brett and Ashley over to Fox News TV to field softballs from Martha McCallum. Jesus. And they will be softball. I didn't do it. And then she'll cry. And we'll, y'all made Brett Kavanaugh's wife cry. And Ashley's having her own Me Too moment because somebody made her cry. Mm-hmm. And by the way, just who, in case you're wondering, who is Martha McCallum? Well, back when Roger Ailes was doing things like saying, I'd like to see you on that trampoline, little lady. I wonder if you're wearing panties. Well, Martha McCallum, according to People for the American Ways, Executive Vice President Marge Baker, Fox News is essentially the house organ of the Republican Party. The interviewer, Martha McCallum, was one of Roger Ailes' most vocal defenders before he was forced to resign because of a pattern of sexual assault and harassment. This isn't journalism. It's propaganda. Anyone who watches it should keep that in mind. And Kavanaugh makes his appearance on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, having already written a letter, and it's a masterpiece of sleaze and filth and paranoid fantasy. He describes and this is a quote, coordinated effort to destroy my good name. Well, if there's a coordinated effort, that would mean that Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez conspired against Brett Kavanaugh. Well, what happened to Dr. Ford happened at Georgetown Prep in the burbs of D.C. And what happened to Ms. Ramirez happened during Brett Kavanaugh's freshman year at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut. So how in God's name do they coordinate? This is just a naked allegation that, you know, them women's is trying to ruin me. When, to the best of my knowledge, there's no evidence that the two women even know each other. Next thing you know, Brett will be claiming that they put their conspiracy together in the basement of Comet Ping Pong Pizza. And lost in all of this is one central and salient fact. Even before any of this was released, even before any of this became common knowledge, Brett Kavanaugh had already perjured himself something like four times in the course of his own hearing, dodged, stonewalled, basically admitted to trafficking in stolen property, and none of that was sufficient to make the Republicans even bat an eyelash. And by the way, noted moderate Republican Susan Collins has once again announced that Brett Kavanaugh is not going to do anything to Roe v. Wade. Which, if you were paying attention last week when Steve was explaining it, it won't so much be Roe as Planned Parenthood versus Casey that he'll do the dirty work through. Under any other set of circumstances, at perhaps any other time, Brett Kavanaugh's nomination would be dead. Deader than Pharaoh's cat. But he's in a corner now, and he has to brazen it out. I mean, after all, what's the punishment for not? He has to go back and continue to serve for life on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, where he can continue to fuck working people and fuck poor people and fuck women and fuck people of color and fuck people injured by corporate malfeasance and be handsomely paid to do so? Oh, damn. I hope Stephen New York's right, and I hope we do get the Senate, and I hope if we get the House, that the House will take measures to impeach Brett Kavanaugh wherever the fuck he is. Whether it's on the D.C. Circuit, or whether it's on the Supreme Court. Impeach him and remove him. Cause he's a crook. As we say here in the hills, crooked as a dog's hind leg. The nerve of him accusing two victims of sexual assault of conspiring together to bring him down. The coordinated effort to destroy my good name will not drive me out. You can almost hear the tears as they rain onto the paper. When I testified in front of the Senate 3 weeks ago, I explained my belief that fair process is foundational to justice and to our democracy. At that time, I sat before the Senate Judiciary Committee for more than 31 hours and answered questions under oath. Well, no, you really... Not all of them, Brett. A lot of them you just evaded and tried to filibuster through. And some you flat out wouldn't answer because you knew that among other people, Kamala Harris, already had the answer, and you were going to get stone cold busted. But he includes, only after that exhaustive process was complete did I learn through the news media about a 36-year-old allegation from high school that had been asserted months earlier and withheld from me through the hearing process. First, it was an anonymous allegation that I categorically and unequivocally denied. Soon after that, the accuser was identified. I repeated my denial on the record and made clear that I wished to appear before the committee. Then this. I then repeated my denial to committee investigators under criminal penalties for false statements. See, the word has gotten back to him that people are saying, hey, Dr. Ford wants to be examined by the FBI. Dr. Ford wants to put herself in jeopardy. So now he has to come up with, hey, wait. We'll tell them that there are penalties for lying to congressional investigators. Not quite the same statute. Not quite the same jeopardy.
As I told the committee during my hearing, a federal judge must be independent, not swayed by public or political pressure. That is the kind of judge I will always be, in addition to being the kind of judge who has occasionally had horrible gambling problems and gone six figures in debt over alleged baseball tickets and lost my temper, drunk out of my mind over a game of dice.
Oh, I'm sorry, I added that part, but it's all true. The coordinated effort to destroy my good name will not drive me out. The vile threats of violence against my family will not drive me out. The last-minute character assassination will not succeed. I have devoted my career to serving the public and the cause of justice, and particularly to promoting the equality and dignity of women after having put my penis in one of them's face when I was a freshman at Yale.
Oh, I added that part, too.
Women from every phase of my life have come forward to attest to my character.
Funny that they were attesting before any of this came out. It's almost like you knew it was going to happen.
I'm grateful to them. I owe it to them and to my family to defend my integrity and my name. I look forward to answering questions from the Senate on Thursday. When Donald Trump's going to be firing Rod Rosenstein.
Jesus. You can hear the tinkling of the whorehouse piano in the background, can't you? Darlene points, says, sorry if I'm being an asshole here, but has the allegation that Precious Ashley has received death threats ever even been vetted? Because I ain't buying it. Yeah, me neither. But see, Dr. Ford has had death threats and had to move her and her family, so they've got to trot that out. And meanwhile, Senator Bill Cassidy down in Louisiana stand has said that Ms. Ramirez's allegations are embarrassingly flimsy. And suggested that she shouldn't have been drunk at that there party. Then the freak Tom Cotton from Arkansas said, the Democrats are engaging in a campaign of delay and character assassination against Judge Kavanaugh. It's time to vote this week. Let the little ladies have their say. Let the little lady have her say, and then she can go home and shut up and let us get on to the business of taking away a woman's right to determine how her body works. God bless America. Yeah. Then there's Steve King, who's a member of the House of Representatives, and
really doesn't have a dog in the hunt because he's a member of the House of Representatives, but he's also an idiot. And so he had to run off at the mouth. Speaking to the Iowa Faith and Freedom Coalition event on Saturday, as reported in the Des Moines Register, he said, "I'm thinking, is there any man in this room that wouldn't be subjected to such an allegation, a false allegation? How can you disprove something like that? Which means, if that's the new standard, no man will qualify for the Supreme Court again." Funny. All you have to do is not be all rapey, and then you won't have a rape problem. But basically, Steve King thinks that, well, you know, all men kind of just have to rape. Because freedom. Because Jesus. Then there's the other side of the coin as presented by the daughter of St. Ronnie of Raygun, you know, Patty Davis. She said, "It doesn't surprise me one bit that for more than 30 years, Christine Blasey Ford didn't talk about the assault she remembers. Your memory snaps photos of the details that will haunt you forever, that will change your life and live under your skin. It blacks out other parts of the story that really don't matter much." Because even the daughter of Ronald Reagan was raped. And so the and so we find our, you know, the protests are mounting outside of the Supreme Court. And I know we have this bullshit notion of decorum. But it really would be nice if the women on the court would make it clear that Brett Kavanaugh will not enjoy being a justice there. Big demonstration in the Hart Senate office building, part of a nationwide walkout. And see, here's the thing. What happens, and I don't know the answer to this. This is more a matter of your opinion than anything I can say. What happens if they confirm him? What happens if Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp all vote yes, and Brett Kavanaugh goes on to the Supreme Court? What then? The rules for impeachment are the same. You got to have a majority to issue the bill of impeachment in the House. And then you've got to have 67 senators vote to remove from office. It's been done. Ask Alcee Hastings. He was a federal judge. He was removed from office. And then he ran for office and went to the Congress, went to the House of Representatives. It's going to take a long time. These are just civics questions. What does an impeached Supreme Court justice do relative to hearing cases while he is under impeachment. Well, maybe he doubles down. I got a Bob from Ron and Raleigh. Bob, you cannot possibly believe that the little D Democratic Party, Democratic Party has the testicular fortitude to impeach Bart O'Kavanaugh for perjury or anything else. They will allow most, if not all, of Dolt 45's bullshit to remain in effect. Well, sadly, Ron, I fear you're correct. And as long as it takes 67 votes in the Senate, well, we're seeing by virtue of the solidarity that the Republicans are manifesting that there will not be 67 votes to be had. So how do you punish a Republican Party that puts a rapist ahead of his victim? I mean, the sentencing hearing for Bill Cosby is underway right now. It started today, and the first debate, the first issue was whether or not a state law in Pennsylvania is constitutional that would let the judge make a finding that Bill Cosby is a sexually violent predator. If he did that, he'd have to be subject to mandatory lifetime counseling and community notification of his whereabouts. The prosecutors want that finding. Defense counsel is saying that it is unconstitutional. As one writer put it, two men showed up at the hearing today. A violent rapist and an old, almost blind man. Here's the difference. He could get up to 30 years in prison, or the judge could send him home on probation. Pennsylvania's sentencing guidelines call for him to face about 1 to 4. Meanwhile, up in Alaska, a guy who strangled a woman into unconsciousness and then masturbated on her recently got sent home with a slap on the wrist. And thus my question. What happens if Kavanaugh makes it onto the court? And I honestly don't, I have no answer. Seems to me that if he makes it onto the court, there's only one remedy. Steve in New York, subject line, decorum. Decorum's great and all. However, when the house is burning and you're trying to put the fire out, you don't worry about decorum. I'm sick of us on the left worrying about decorum and compromise anyway. I know. I mean, so what do you do? You're Elena Kagan. You're Sonia Sotomayor. You're Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If Kavanaugh's confirmed, do you just walk up and shake his hand and say, "Hey, old fellow, well met"? How do you deal with it? Like I said, I think the perfect remedy would be for every opinion that each one of those women signs to include a concurrence from them saying, "I believe Dr. Ford." he wants on that court so goddamn bad, make every day there an absolute misery. Make it clear that the only people that will speak to him are his fellow rapists and rape apologists. I'm sure he and Slappy Coke Can Thomas can have a high old time. At Barkway in the chat room with an interesting observation. Bob, I don't believe Dems are truly worried about decorum. I think that's just an excuse for their cowardice. A note from Lee in New York. Can you remember details from the past? Howdy, Bob. Howdy, Lee. On September 11th, 2001, I was across the street from World Trade Center. Do you think I will forget that morning? Do women forget sexual assault? The answer to both is no. Alexander says of decorum in the court, I would be too disgusted to stand in the same space with this human douchebag, let alone shake his disgusting wanking hand. Here's a thought. You know, they take a picture of the Supreme Court every year at the beginning of the term. They're all standing there in their black robes and looking all majestic and judicial. What if Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ginsburg refused to show up, refused to be photographed in the same space with Brett Kavanaugh? Because if the Senate votes to confirm him, that doesn't mean that he didn't try to rape Dr. Ford. It just means that the Republicans, and quite possibly a couple of Democrats, didn't give a fuck that he tried to rape Dr. Ford. Or that he put his penis in the face of Ms. Ramirez. Or did or participated in gangbangs as are being alluded to now. That's all it means. It doesn't mean he didn't do it. Apparently, our buddy Trey has been taking one for the team and watching the interview over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And Kavanaugh says now that he was a virgin. As Trey noted, holy shit. And of course, they're going to have a calendar. They say they've got a calendar for the relevant time period. And that Brett Kavanaugh didn't make any notes on his calendar about tried to rape Chrissy. No. Well, you know, you'd think they were better. They'd be better lawyers than this. Evidence of absence is not absence of evidence. If he gets on the court, asks Steve, we occupy the court. We surround the court and don't let anyone in or out. Oh, but remember, the court has a buffer zone that they didn't want to let a woman's reproductive health clinic have. And it's a big damn buffer zone. And if you try to violate it, the Capitol Police will come in and break some skulls. Because there's rules for them and rules for us. Question coming in from Kitty. Hey, Bob, why don't sitting justices have an opportunity to question a nominee about their qualifications and temperament? Most job interviews at an executive level have candidates sitting down with some of the people that candidate will be working with. Just wondering. Because the issue of who gets to be a judge is constitutionally vested solely in the presidency and in the Senate. the Senate, who were thought by the framers to be the more sober-sided of the two bodies. They figured the House would be hot and tempestuous because it was an exercise of semi-direct democracy, whereas the Senate was going to be selected by our betters back in the beginnings. Were thought to be of serious enough mean to make that decision, and you didn't want the court itself mired in that kind of infighting. And of course, you've got to understand at the beginning, the idea of what the Supreme Court was going to be was very much nebulous. And so it took, the reason that Marbury versus Madison is so important and so famous is because Justice Marshall, Chief Justice John Marshall, staked out a claim for the Supreme Court that afforded it far more power than most people were thinking it had. So I guess that's my attempt at an answer, Kitty. But here's another part of it. I've long thought that the tendency in the modern era, at least, is to have Supreme Court justices who are academics, ivory tower types. And yet, the Supreme Court being primarily, there is some original jurisdiction that accrues to the Supreme Court, but in its development, it is a court of final appeal. It is an appellate court. It's a court that hears arguments, not evidence. There are very arcane rules for how you certify a trial court record to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court never puts a witness under oath. The Supreme Court never sees a witness examined. The Supreme Court, well, obviously, Brett Kavanaugh was catapulted from being an underhanded loyal Bushy right onto the Circuit Court of Appeals, and they did so, you know, thinking, well, you know, one, it's a political plum. It's how you reward a faithful hack who will go and do your right-wing bidding. But Brett Kavanaugh probably hasn't tried a case since maybe litigation class in Yale. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Because for all the rules try to make a process that doesn't have any ambushes or unfair advantages or surprises or anything like that, trial is a little like some have described war. In that no matter how much you prepare and no matter how much you train, when the thing starts, all the plans go out the window. And things can change on the fly. And to have justices who've never tried cases is antithetical to ideas of good administration of justice. Because every record they review is a trial court record. And so you can get some bizarre conclusions based on people who have based on people making those decisions who have never had to try a case. You might recall the line of questioning in the Senate Judiciary Committee a few months back by John Kennedy of Louisiana, who, Republican hack though he is, found a sort of line in the sand that he couldn't go across with one of Julius Geiser's nominees because he asked him, son, do you know what a motion in limine is? And dude didn't. Motion in lemonade, huh? No idea. Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch. I don't know if he tried cases. Maybe he did. But these are people who are elevated for one reason and one reason only. Not their sterling character, not their stellar... No, because they are expected to do a specific political job under the guise of the law. All that pissing and moaning that Republicans are forever doing about activist judges is just cover for the fact that that's all they want. They want judges like Brett Kavanaugh who will evade and dodge in their confirmation hearings and then go up and go about the dirty business of doing the bidding of America's white wing and America's uber wealth class. So that's... It's not necessarily a good idea to have people who don't know how to try cases sitting on the court. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, pretty sure she tried some cases. I know that the Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan did. One of them was Solicitor General, and that's, well, you get the idea. But being an appellate lawyer is a much, much different animal from being a trial lawyer. And both of those are wildly different from being a paperwork shuffler, a corporate lawyer, a bond lawyer, a bank lawyer. I mean, that's why, to the best of my understanding, they still maintain the distinction in the UK between barristers and solicitors. Solicitors will write you a will or a deed. They'll do the paper shuffling stuff. But if you've got to appear in court, they will shoot you lickety split over to a barrister who knows what the hell he or she is doing in a courtroom situation. We don't maintain that distinction, at least not officially, and I wonder perhaps if we should. Lee in New York, justices deciding new justices. Could you imagine an extreme right-wing court accepting any justices of an opposing view? I see the Supreme Court becoming and staying extreme. Well, I said, what remedy is there? There is another remedy. But, of course, it requires a certain amount of presidential participation, so what you need is a Senate and a House and a president, but the Congress can declare how many members there will be on the Supreme Court. They could, for instance, increase the number to 13 in order to make up for the ones who are on the court who have no business being there. People like Clarence Coke Can Slappy Thomas and let's assume Brett Kavanaugh and Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, because they're all on there because Merrick Garland was kept off. And by the way, how does all of the stuff that we've learned about Brett Kavanaugh not create the appearance of impropriety on his part? Remember, it's the Caesar's wife rule. Caesar's wife must be above and beyond reproach. And judges are not allowed to be involved even with the appearance of impropriety, let alone the impropriety itself. Well, how is trafficking in stolen property, how does that not create the appearance of impropriety? How does perjuring yourself four times not create the appearance of impropriety? And that's part and parcel of why Brett Kavanaugh is in the corner he's in and has to try to come up with some way to say that it didn't happen at all, and yet at the same time, although he appears to have given up on the notion, not slime the accuser, the victim, his victim. Ron in Raleigh with a note, what will Justice Kavanaugh do? Till long after I've gone on to my long home, Justice Kavanaugh will make life miserable for poor and working people. We will return to the early 20th or late 19th century view of jurisprudence. I feel sorry for those that will have to wait for the demise of the Roberts Court. I know, Ron, and here's the thing. The people who will see the demise of the Roberts Court may just now be getting borned. How's about that? Lord God. I'm sorry for the 1 3/4 hour filibobster, but this stuff is just, well, madness. And it's spread. And it's so pervasive that it takes a little time to go through it all. I mean, oh my God! And don't think for a moment that all of this doesn't have roots that tap into the weirdest weird elements of the right wing. Take, for instance, a guy by the name of Dave Janda. He's kind of an Alex Jones type, you know, lots of paranoid conspiracy. Just get the hockey puck out. You want to talk about a weird way to slime somebody? Well, he's a member of the White Wing, so naturally he's predisposed to slime Dr. Ford, but this is new and different.
There's also some information, and two of my sources have said, yes, this is correct. One of my sources says they cannot confirm this, but there's this information out there that she has worked as a CIA contractor in the past and possibly even to the present.
Doing what?
Reportedly was involved in a mind control program. When I spoke to my sources about threats of violence in these texts, that this is what I had heard, and they said they confirmed it. They said that there is significant harm directed at Trump in these texts.
We're talking about harm like they want to knock him off. They want to kill him.
I don't know the exact wording. I haven't heard the exact wording. All I have heard and all I know is that I was told that there was violence that was directed toward Trump.
Now, hold on a minute. So what we got here, and remember, this is, we're talking about that segment of the White Wing that lives for this kind of madcap paranoia, who also happens to have a shitload of guns. So this Dave Janda creep is saying that Dr. Ford has been engaged in conspiracies to do harm against Donald Trump. No wonder she's received death threats. Huh.
I have been told that military tribunals are not just going to happen, they have been in place and they have been operational, is the word I was told.
Already going on. They're already taking people to task in military tribunals.
That is my understanding from my sources that I trust. And what I was also told is that this declassification will ultimately lead to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions to, at least on a partial basis, if not complete basis, to unrecuse himself. Yeah, I think he might have tried to institute a conversation with Trump trying to protect himself.
And what happened?
The word I heard is I don't think it went well for Obama.
Hold on. We're breaking a little news here. You're telling me, if I get this right, that your sources say Barack Obama reached out to Donald Trump and said, we need to talk about this failed coup, basically. And Trump told him, you can go, you know, take a walk. Is that what you're telling me?
I have one source that told me that Obama had reached out to Trump about a meeting and that the meeting did not go well for Obama.
Oh, he did have a meeting.
I'm just telling what I was told.
And you're saying that he did have a meeting with Obama, who's trying to save himself.
It was my understanding that Obama had reached out to Trump. This is what I was told. And was trying to not cut a deal, but... well, maybe cut a deal. And that Trump is firmly in the camp of restitution of the rule of law, no matter who it involves.
Mother McCree. Matt in San Francisco. Ain't that hearsay? Even Judge Judy knows to shut that shit down. Well, Greg Hunter guy, the one who's like, oh wait, we're breaking some news here. He's trying to work the Alex Jones side of the street. And so the wackier the better. Hey, Ron and Raleigh, I told you, get the hockey puck. Wait, what? Says Ron. Where were these crazy sons of bitches when Barack Obama was president? No violence then. Right. But this is, you know, this is the reality. This is where we are. And then, you know, remember the Values Voter Summit was this weekend. You know, the voters who value things like kidnapping children and sponsoring war and slaughtering other... right, values voters. Well, they invited someone named Elizabeth Johnston to their little clavern. And they all have to have a handle. And so she's the activist mommy. And she's upset about, well, sex. You know, unless it's a Supreme Court nominee putting his penis in the face of an inebriated young woman at Yale some decades back. But, yeah. And she wants to, naturally, she's... deeply, deeply concerned about, you know, those people.
Through Sex Ed Sit Out, we began to threaten to sue the schools for pandering obscenity to minors. You do understand that the materials that are in the schools today, I can't even fully explain them to you because they're so vile and obscene that they are obscenity, legal obscenity. That,
like, say, a Supreme Court nominee participating in gangbangs? Or a Supreme Court nominee putting his penis in the face of an intoxicated young woman at Yale? That kind of obscenity there? Activist mommy? Oh, you don't believe that, do you? But you'll just make shit up, won't you? Sure you will.
It should not be allowed. This is pandering obscenity to minors. And if the men in this audience were to send that material to a 13-year-old girl, they'd be locked up.
Unless they were Brett Kavanaugh.
Pandering obscenity and for sexual grooming. So why are teachers allowed to give these materials out to children and show them videos in class that you would be locked up for showing them?
These videos, of course, exist only in activist mommy's mind. Yeah, you'd think that they were showing porn movie. Do they still have film strips in school, or has it all been replaced by PowerPoint? But, yeah. You'd think that they were showing PowerPoint gay porn to those 13-year-olds, but no.
And your tax dollars pay for it. Just last week, there was a victory in Danville, Illinois. A drag queen named Gigi Mayonnaise posted on Facebook, "My drag queen story hour was unfairly canceled last week at the Danville Public Library." Oh, boo. "Due to the bigots calling and making complaints." That would be us, right?
Yeah. You're bigots.
Hallelujah. It is past time for us, guys, to...
Somebody pass her a snake, would they? You can't just leave her up there, hallelujah, and by herself and not hand her a snake or a jar of strychnine to swig or something. Somebody pour some oil on her head or let her roll on the floor for a minute or two.
Get aggressive about protecting our children's innocence. Conservatives have been playing much too nice with these degenerates.
Degenerates?
This is...
The Jews, Henry, it's the Jews. Billy, you know, we could save America, Billy Graham, if it weren't for the Jews. Yes, sir, Mr. President, they're degenerates. They got one song in their little songbook, don't they? Yeah.
It's a war. This is war on our children.
And, of course, if you've got a war, what do you need to do? Well, you need to go and shoot some people. Don't you just love? No, you don't. But you know, this constant refrain of eliminationism that flows out of the right-wing sewer. They can't help themselves. It's just where they live. I mean, it's all over the place. Again, from the Values Voter Summit, which I knew would be rich moran ground for today. The president of Act for America, which is an anti-Muslim group, a woman by the name of Bridget Gabriel showed up. And right back to the same old eliminationist rhetoric. There's a war for our children, and Bridget Gabriel's at war, and, you know, Janie, get your gun.
America is being transformed before our very eyes. The flag that once flew on every street corner in the United States is now considered a hate symbol on college campuses.
The Confederate flag? Oh, wait.
Athletes who used to stand up with tears of pride during the national anthem are now kneeling in protest. Patriotism...
In protest of what, sister? You're kind of brown. You're not white folks. They're kneeling because people like you are all too routinely blown away by the police That's what they're kneeling for. They're not protesting the flag, you silly twit. They're not protesting the military. They're protesting a slaughter. In the most respectful way possible. Oh, but not for Bridget Gabriel. No.
Is seen as hateful. Freedom of speech is being eliminated by the tyranny of tolerance. And our police
tyranny
are
of tolerance.
Killed and murdered by thugs and criminals while the mainstream media victimizes their killers. This is exactly why I wrote my book, Rise. Rise in defense of Judeo-Christian values and freedom. Because, my friends, our Judeo-Christian values are under assault. Christmas is under assault.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. It's... So this was from the 21st. Mark this on your calendars, please. September 21st, go back, 2018, Bridget Gabriel launches this year's seasonal War on Christmas. Damn, we're not even to Halloween yet.
Well, our students in our public schools cannot stand up and speak of or defend our Judeo-Christian values or even recite the national anthem because you can't say that or the Pledge of Allegiance in schools anymore.
What? You can't say the Pledge of Allegiance in schools anymore? What schools are you talking about there, sister? Because I think we would have noticed. But then again, she's just lying.
Right now they are being indoctrinated into Islamic propaganda inside the classroom. This is exactly why we need to come together and network together and learn.
Indoctrinated into Islamic. That's why, that's why the little school lunchroom canteen there for break time, they've renamed them all the Aloha Snack Bar. Mrs. Krabappel, can I go to the Aloha Snack Bar? We've made him say Allah Akbar. Now he's a Muslim.
Learn from each other. You need to understand that we are at war. And we are at war against the radical leftist element in our country that has declared war on us.
Okay. I seem to recall something like this from, say, like 1939. You realize that the German planes and tanks rolled across the Polish frontier only after Germany claimed that Poland had declared war on them. Same playbook. But, when you're at war with somebody, what do you do to them? I know what she'd like to do.
We have people in this country complaining about America, finding every ill in America. They cannot see anything good in America. They complain about everything we have in this country.
I am not going to cue up any songs from West Side Story at all. From that, I'm just not gonna. I'm better than that. Gabrielle is getting under Alexander's skin a little bit. At war? With who? Yourself and your own dementia? Something like that. Where the hell is she from? She doesn't sound like she's from around here, Bob, says Ron and Raleigh. These folks are such victims. Welcome to Gilead. She and those like her are surrounded by enemies. Yeah, I'm thinking she ain't from Busted Knuckle, no. But, you come to America and it's the land of opportunity and, you get yourself a top-notch right-wing hustle going and the next thing you know, you're showing up on Jim Baker's show and helping to hustle some bucket pudding. and you're showing up at the Values Voter Summit and talking about the book you done writ and how you're at war with the left. And, well, as the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, see, that's more that Muslim indoctrinating there. He says peace be upon him like the Muslims do. As the late great prophet Bill Hicks, the peace be upon him, said, that's a big dollar. It's a big dollar.
Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
I come from overseas. Oh. I was not raised in America. But last time I checked, since I came to America, America is the greatest nation on the face of the planet.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
And those who are complaining about America, apologizing for America, want to bring America down to have it as par with the rest of the world, we tell them we'll give them a one-way ticket to get the heck out of this country and back to whatever country of their choice. And leave this country to us.
You know, sister, you're talking to a lot of white folks there that aren't real happy about how brown you are, right? You know that, right? Bridget Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. You have to understand that we are at war, a war declared on us by the radical left, and we must fight to win this war.
Yeah. You know, with all your guns. Meanwhile, Ralph Reed, you remember Ralph Reed, don't you? From the Christian Coalition. Well, Ralph Reed has gotten in on the Kavanaugh Act. They had a pre-summit. Breakfast. It was sponsored by United in Purpose, UIP. A bunch of right-wing, white-wing venture capitalists run that organization. They're a big-time sponsor of the Values Voter Summit. At that breakfast, Ralph Reed declared that the Kavanaugh issue has whipsawed on the left and on the Senate Democrats. I think not only the way they did it by holding the allegation to the last minute and then dropping it after the FBI investigation had been done and everything else, but also the way the attorneys and the Democratic handlers are handling this woman's allegations. You know, nobody would have to handle her allegations if Brett Kavanaugh hadn't tried to handle her in the first place when she was 15 years old, but never mind. We have all these demands, they say. Listen, if you've been in the victim of assault and this guy is about to go on the court, you're willing to tell your story. They offered in private. They offered in public. They offered an open hearing. They offered to fly staff out to California to take affidavits. And I think the American people, not just people like us, but all the American people, every last one of them, look at this process, which has been so corrupted and so debased by the politics of personal destruction and by character assassination. I think people are watching this and going, if you can do this to an altar boy and a Boy Scout like this, then you'll destroy anyone or anything to advance your political interests. Count me out. You might recall it. Ralph Reed is filthy, corrupt. Matt in San Francisco, prior to Reagan, prior to Ronnie, people who ran around yelling like this got a 72-hour stay at the facility. Now these people have microphones? Microphones? Hell, Matt, they've got Values Voter Summits. They got your what you call your Jed Clampett walking around money now. Always looking for the silver lining. Our buddy Marty says, really? They'd send me to New Zealand one way? Deal. Just get them to get me the residency visa. Meanwhile, from down that way, a mite, Robert in Australia writes, greatest country in the world? Every politician in every country on the planet makes the statement, this is the greatest country in the world. I hear it here in Oz all the time. Thing is, no one who says it can tell me why. Well, because greatness, that's why. Brother Deacon Asa says, it's usually the Eastern European immigrant hustling the MAGA corner. This gang sounds to me to be Middle Eastern. Bridget Gabrielle. Haven't looked her up, but I'm guessing that if your average maggot walking down the street saw her, he'd probably think that she probably had a dynamite vest strapped to her or something, because, you know, that's how they think. I tried to warn y'all. I mean, it's only 10 after 8, but Stephen New York says, God damn, this must be Moran harvest time. Yeah, in regard to activist mommy in the schools, Matt in San Francisco says, same schools where they're forcing vaccinations and the boys have to go to the girls' room and the girls have to go in the boys' room. And yeah. Arthur, responding to Bridget Gabrielle, you can't even wear a swastika armband in school anymore. I have no business making fun of her accent, and I'm not, because I damn sure can't speak her language. Arthur pointing out, that's funny, I thought she wrote her book because money. James in Illinois, subject line, oh, fuck. My sources, which go all the way back to Frederick Douglass and Fred McMurray, that say his sources drink Drano. Wait a minute. Yeah, you get a cowbell for that, James. Arthur said, yeah, well, he's got sources. He's got sources. Yeah. Steve noting, this is that stuff is Alex Jones quality. That's some Alex Jones quality bullshit. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't try. Alexander says, rest assured that if able to communicate with her, I will make a point to intellectually rip her a new orifice. Don't even try. They're time vampires, okay? I do this so y'all don't have to. This is my job. But don't let them suck away any of the precious finite time of your precious finite life. This is more just a matter of, you know, sort of letting you know what's out there so you can know just how evil and vicious these various and sundry punks and thugs are. Her name's not really Bridget Gabrielle. It's Hanan Khatwaji, Lebanese-American conservative author, activist, and founder of the anti-Muslim group Act for America. Well, there we go. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, over there at the Horn Ad Hoc and Ad Hoc Research Department, as is Ron and Raleigh. I wonder if she was there when our greatest ally, Israel, bombed the piss out of them. I don't know. She was born in 1964. And you got to figure that maybe she was there when all the military commanders told St. Ronnie, don't put we got those Marines on a ship here. They can get anywhere they need to go. For Christ's sakes, don't put them in the barracks, Ronnie. And Ronnie said, well, we've got to show the flag. And got the Marines blown up. Brother Deacon Asa simply pointing out, she's an Arab. What one's ethnicity is matters little to me, especially in comparison to what she isn't, and that is a decent human being. Oh, dear. Some breaking Brett Kavanaugh filth. In his high school yearbook, Brett Kavanaugh and several of his chums made reference to being... I'm trying to get the story to open here. Renata alumni, R-E-N-A-T-E. Headline, Kavanaugh's yearbook page is horrible, hurtful to a woman that it named. Damn it. I'll get there in a minute. Working. Hate the damn dead air. But this just looks skeevy. Of course, more and more, everything about Brett Kavanaugh looks skeevy. Look, he's just a rotten little son of privilege. You remember the really remember the really shitty character played by Philip Seymour Hoffman in Scent of a Woman? Yeah, again. Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh's page in his high school yearbook offers a glimpse of the teenage years of the man who's now President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. Lots of football, plenty of drinking, parties at the beach. Among the reminiscences about sports and booze is a mysterious entry. Renata, R-E-N-A-T-E, alumnius. The word Renat, R-E-N-A-T-E, appears at least 14 times in Georgetown Preparatory School's 1983 yearbook, on individuals' pages, and in a group photo of 9 football players, including Judge Kavanaugh, who were described as the Renata alumni. It is a reference to Renata Schroeder, then a student at a nearby Catholic girls' school. 2 of Judge Kavanaugh's classmates say the mentions of Renata were part of the football players' unsubstantiated boasting about their conquests. They were very disrespectful, at least verbally, with Renata, said Sean Hagan, a Georgetown prep student at the time, referring to Judge Kavanaugh and his teammates. I can't express how disgusted I am with them then and now. Jesus. Well, this month, Renata Schroeder Dolphin joined 64 other women who, saying they knew Judge Kavanaugh during their high school years, signed a letter to the leaders of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is weighing the yada yada. The letter stated he has behaved honorably and treated women with respect. When Ms. Dolphin signed the September 14th letter, she wasn't aware of the Renata yearbook references on the pages of Judge Kavanaugh and his football teammates. Jesus. I learned about these yearbook pages only a few days ago, Ms. Dolphin said in a statement to the New York Times. I don't know what Renata alumnus actually means. I can't begin to comprehend what goes through the minds of 17-year-old boys who write such things, but the insinuation is horrible, hurtful, and simply untrue. I pray their daughters are never treated this way. I will have no further comment. What we're engaged in here, is a sort of social science experiment. T- to see how many disgusting things the largely white male Republican power structure will tolerate, and how many disgusting things the women who associate with them will tolerate in the name of access to power. How many revolting things will Republicans blink at in order to get their hooks into the soul of America? There's nothing about Brett Kavanaugh that isn't sickening. But somehow or another, that carries an extra cachet. There you were, just living your life. You didn't even go to school with these little shitheads. And you find out they've been laughing at you since 1987. Or earlier. And good for Ms. Dolphin for saying she hopes that his daughters never have to go through that. I'm sure that he and... At what point? Okay, it's on Brett Kavanaugh's page. At what point does he have to look at Ashley and say, well, you know, I did brag about, you know, having sex with her. And, I mean, it's, you know, I was a virgin and I was... Or whatever the excuse is. Does this camel have an unbreakable back? Is there no straw that will not break it? Jesus. Brother Deacon Asa says, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Renata alumnus thing refers to the earlier probable gangbang reference. Clarence, meanwhile, going back to Bridget Gabriel, Clarence says, I do not know what an Uncle Tom is in the Arab community. I think she is a self-hating member of her community, another Ted Cruz type. She changes her name to hide her ethnic background. What a real piece of shit. Lee in New York, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, George Willis Jr. in Scent of a Woman. There really is no bottom, is there? There is no bottom. There is no bottom to this well of depravity, and sickness, and vulgarity, and viciousness, and rape, and violence. There is nothing. At least I have not. If there is, I have not seen a manifestation of it yet. There is nothing that is too low for a Republican, a maggot, to stoop to achieve their political ends. They piss and moan about how that this was politics on the part of the Democrats. At least the Democrats are speaking up for a victim of a goddamn crime. And yeah, Barkway reminds me, there's something else from the yearbook that Michael Avenatti's been asking about. The FFFFF4th reference of Kavanaugh's, find them, French them, feel them, finger them, fuck them, forget them. And his mother, Brett Kavanaugh's mother, was part of the judicial system in Montgomery County, Maryland. Went on to be a judge, I believe. Parents are not always responsible for the actions of their children. Children are certainly not are not responsible for the sins of the fathers and the mothers. But God damn. Going back to the letter from earlier about Montgomery County schools, would the culture have been as toxic in those public schools as it obviously was at Georgetown? I don't know. So I filibobstered for 1 hour or 2 hours and 25 minutes. If there's something you'd like to get off your chest, if there's something that you would like to share, bring to the conversation, you're more than welcome to. The numbers, of course, 304-574-8178, 304-640-2829. Toll free from Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, 844-843-4676. They will all, and of course, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. They'll all get you into the program, and you can bring pretty much anything to the table that you want to. If there's anything I've missed, by all means, let me know. Otherwise, all right, let's see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm a little sleepy. I'm just sincerely disgusted with what's been going on.
The last 2 hours and 27 minutes have just made me feel filthy.
Well, I'm calling in answer to what you mentioned, the Montgomery County public school system, and I grew up in the Montgomery County public school system, and I don't know whether to share the story with you or not, but it wasn't great.
If it makes you uncomfortable, don't do anything that does that. Or if you want to talk about it in general terms, I mean, there are going to be problems anywhere. I understand that. Those are difficult years. But what I want to know, Megan, is why is it so goddamn difficult to teach boys to keep their hands to themselves and, you know, not rape?
I don't know, because when I was in middle school, I had exactly that problem. Me and other girls, there was one boy in particular that seemed to get off on touching girls' chests and rear ends, and did that to me, did that to a friend of mine, and I tried to hit him in response, ended up chasing him down the hall, went to report it because my father was fit to be tied. And the school system decided, oh, that's teasing because the boys don't know how to react because the girls are all developing and it's a whole new ball game and it's just teasing. And they decided that they were going to suspend my the perps for 3 days on a Friday.
So they were back by Monday.
Yep. And this one particular perp in particular went to grade school, elementary school with him. Ended up, there was a literary magazine or book that was put together from the graduating classes, and he ended up writing about the greatest moment in his life was getting into a fight with someone and breaking their arm. And they actually published that.
You know, speaking of that, how is it that nobody, you know, because there's when you do yearbooks and things like that, at least, you know, where I come from, the yearbook was produced largely by the journalism class and the yearbook committee.
The yearbooks, yes. Yes.
So when you see this word, Renata alumnus, appearing 14 or 15 times in this, you know, this morally, morally better school because it's religious, where was the adult in the room to ask, what the hell does this mean, boys?
There, if I had to guess, probably wasn't one, or they gave a answer to whatever teacher that asked about it, and they probably lied to the teacher to make it more acceptable. On its face, if I had to guess, that, yeah, it was probably a badge of honor among those boys that had done something to her.
Jesus.
But also keep in mind, if you're of a certain demographic, they'll give you a pass, particularly if the teachers don't believe that you're, quote, capable of doing that, unquote.
And, of course, you can't be capable of that because you come from a good family, right?
If you come from a good family, if you're upper class, and God forbid, excuse me, if your family donates sizable donations to the school. And not only that, but I got a list of excuses given to girls a mile long about what they did to ask for it.
Wow. Meanwhile, Kavanaugh says, I was a virgin in high school and many years after.
Sex assault doesn't have to be intercourse for it to be assault. Apparently someone doesn't understand that.
Oh, they understand, Megan. They understand full well.
My own, I had a conversation with my mother about this. She grew up, she went to Walt Whitman. She grew up in Bethesda. And, I mean, just to give you an idea of how kind of upper crust it was, because she graduated in 71. That she was best friends with, like, the daughter of the diplomat from Argentina because it's that close to D.C. And she kind of gave me a few hair-raising, not anecdotes, but she was breaking down exactly what it was like down in 71 in those days. That women did not dare come forward with stuff like that. And she was a victim of domestic violence. So to have all this come forward and to see the victims just absolutely be trashed, to see Senator McConnell and Orrin Hatch say what they said today, I'm just so thoroughly sick of it. I'm ready to just – this is why I took up Taekwondo in my teenage years, Bob. I'm not joking.
Just to have some – just to have some avenue to work it out?
To defend myself, because it was getting really scary. I mean, if you were, God forbid, if you were in an after-school elective, and there you had some few elements hanging around after school, and they caught you alone.
Jesus.
I mean, it was dangerous, and this was like over 30 years ago. I mean, my father was all for it because he didn't want to have to worry about me, but then I kind of lucked out there because he worked in law enforcement some years back, and he could talk to, you know, had connections to, you know, whatever security guards or law enforcement that were guarding the school after that incident that I just told you about. But yeah, how many women have that?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of sick to my stomach. I've had my senators and my house rep phone number on speed dial since 2016, and I have called them over and over again. But, I mean, there's only so much I can do because my Senator Chris Coons is on the Judiciary Committee, and he's been not only saying that voting no against Kavanaugh, he's been pushing for the FBI investigation since from the jump.
Yeah, he's getting it right. So, how about your other Delaware senator?
He's up for re-election. He's also against Kavanaugh. He's been kind of working in lockstep with Chris Coons. I mean, I've called all three offices. But yeah, I mean, there's beyond, my fingers are worn down to a nub right now.
God Almighty. Well, I appreciate the call, Megan. Don't give up. And I apologize if I've triggered anything. I sincerely do.
Well, no, I mean,
but I don't know how not to talk about this.
Neither do I, because when the show, I think it was last Thursday, when I was listening to the show, when you and Tracy were talking about what you guys went through, I think I mentioned I downloaded the shows when I'm doing my early newspaper deliveries to listen to while I'm on the road, and I had to pull my car over because I was about to cry. So I just want to send love out there to you and Tracy, and other than this, I think this has an effect of encouraging people to come out and share their own stories. So, I mean, what I went through is not nearly as bad as other people have gone through, but it was really scary.
Well, there's no good go through. You know what I mean? It's not a comparative continuum. Sexual assault is sexual assault. Short of death, no one's competing. You know what I mean? But Megan, thank you very much, and I look forward to talking
to you
again. You take care. Bye now.
All right, you too, Bob.
That's our buddy Megan calling from Delaware, and let's go over and talk to John up in PA. Hey, John.
Hey, Bob, how's it going, man? Long time, no talk.
Well, I know. I've been kind of worried about you.
Oh, well, back in March, I got a job with the defense industry. Much to my chagrin, but, you know, it's a good-paying job for around here, so I kind of took it, you know. But I work second shift now, so basically when you are on the air, I'm at work. We're not allowed to have cell phones in the government, in the facility at all because of security reasons and because of, security. And, they don't want us taking pictures of the blueprints with all the fucking defense industry shit we work with. So,
you might not want to go any further into detail than that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, all I can tell you is that I work with naval nuclear components, and let me tell you something. The firepower that this nuclear fleet has is just nuts. I mean, it's unimaginable, but I can't go into more detail, but, you know. But I took off today, you know, I just wanted to get a day off. Been working a lot. And, I wanted to talk about something that's kind of happy. I've been working with the Jeff King campaign. She's a progressive candidate for the Democratic ticket for United States Congress here in the now newly drawn 11th district. And, you know, we're targeting Republicans, so when we're going out to canvass and stuff. And I got to tell you, I think the majority of the Republicans that we talked to said, nope, we're pulling it for the Democrats this year. Because, Bob, there is people – I live in a very Republican area. Despite what the media is telling you, there's people that especially – particularly Republican side that are very upset with what they're doing. They're not happy with what they're doing. And a lot of them are saying, like one lady said, you know, I've voted Republican my whole life. She's like, and I just want to get this idiot and his cronies out of office any way possible, any means possible. And there's a lot of people out there who are very excited to get out there and vote these fuckers out. So it's not all bad. It just depends on what candidate is running against the Republican that you want out.
Well, that is that 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 present that is a little bit hopeful. So
yeah, I mean it.
I mean, so you're
it's looking good out there.
You're expecting the blue wave to really be a thing.
It depends. Like I said, but we have a good candidate. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have a good candidate who is not a career politician, and we have a candidate who is talking about populist issues and never ever talking about what's going on in the news cycles. You know what I'm saying? And but like what I'm trying to say is if you got a bad candidate, it depends on how many bad candidates are out there. How many? Honestly, it comes down to people that aren't for the establishment. I mean, I hate to say it, but it is true. A lot of it is that. But I'm not sure about the blue wave. I'm really not. But all I can tell you is that it depends. If you have a good candidate running, then the Republicans aren't going to stand a chance. But if you have a candidate out there who's milquetoast, who goes along with like a Chuck Schumer type, who helps, vote in fast track Trump's judges, people who go along with Trump and the status and stuff like that, that's who they want to kick out of office. So they're going to be looking at basically it's an incumbents beware is what I'm trying to say. It's an incumbents beware. People are just in the mood to kick people out of office. They want to kick ass and they want to kick them out of where they're at. So that's what basically the sentiment that I'm coming from. But it is true that there is a lot of Republicans out there or people who traditionally identify as Republicans who are very upset with what they're doing, because it's quite obvious that I've had some registered Republicans use the word fascism, and I wasn't expecting that.
That is that's a little surprising.
There's people that said, what we're seeing is something. One guy said, what they're doing is something you might see out of fascist Germany. That's what he said. I thought, huh, that's weird. But then you get other people where, we walked up to a guy that I knew was a wing nut before he opened his mouth, and these are the people we're targeting. And the reason why, like the girl I was with, we saw a Scott Wagner sign out. And she said, oh, we're not stopping there. I said, oh, no, we are. I said, oh, we are. Because that's why Democrats lost so bad, is because they refused to do that. They refused to go into the belly of the beast. So we're targeting Republicans. But one guy that we came up to, or that we knocked on his door and came to the door, we started talking about some of the, progressive issues. He was agreeing with almost all of it. And then when he said, what party is she with? We said she's on a Democratic ticket, and we got the door in our face. He actually agreed with everything, but as soon as he heard about the party, he slammed the door in our face. And that actually, to be fair, happens with Democrats, too.
Really? How do you mean?
Me, as a volunteer in these elections, I want to let you know what I'm seeing from the people right here in Pennsylvania, one of the most Republican areas in Pennsylvania. I'm seeing Jess King signs in an area called Hanover, which is so right wing, Bob. That area is so right wing. But I'm seeing several signs of hers out there. This can be done. This can be done. I'm feeling very optimistic about about what we can do, not with the direction of the country is heading in right now, but what we can do. It can be done. A year ago, I would have told you it would never happen. But seeing this, I think everybody should not be content. Absolutely, act like, pretend that we're going to lose our asses, But I think that people also need to have that little bit of hope. So.
Well, I agree completely. You've got to have something,
Oh, Buster.
Well, no, you've got to have something to hold on to, and you've got to have something to work toward.
Yeah, but I like you. I am skeptical of the blue wave thing. I am skeptical of that.
Well, there's an old saying out there that there's only two ways to run an election: unopposed and scared to death.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right.
people who run candidates who run like they expect to, you know, or deserve to win often lose.
Yeah, look at you know, with the classic example of Hillary Clinton, you know, and everybody thought it was maddening to hear people say how big she was going to win. You know, I couldn't take that. You know, I just, because I knew that something was going to happen. But I watched the other day, I went and saw Michael Moore's movie, right? Did you see that at all?
I haven't. It's not here.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a guy I wanted to also ask you about who's running for Congress, who was a Marine, I guess he was. I'm slipping on what his name is, but
Rich Ojeda.
Yeah. They're giving him credit. So I wanted you to get your thoughts on this guy. He kind of seems like he may have been a former Republican or something.
He voted for Trump in 2016.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
And freely admits it. And
so
the way he gets around it is he says, "Yeah, I voted for Trump in 2016. Now ask me how I feel about it today."
Okay, so how does he feel about it?
Yeah, well, he regrets it.
Okay, well, you know, do you trust him? What do you think about him? I was wondering what your thoughts are on him.
I'm voting for him.
Oh, is he in your district?
Yeah, he's running for the seat vacated by Evan Jenkins when Evan Jenkins ran for Senate.
Oh, okay. Nice. So you're going to vote for him. That's all right.
I don't know what his chances are. He's running against a lunatic religious maniac who has enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills. And she won't tell anybody how she's going to vote on something because she says, "I have to take it to the Lord in prayer first." And then she does, and then she takes it to Jesus, and Jesus tells her to vote the Republican Party line, and that's what she does.
Who is that? Shelley Warren Capita?
No, her name's Carol Miller.
Oh, the guy that he's that Richard guy is running against?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw. Did you see the commercials of Joe Manchin shooting shit up?
Well, you know, that's all Joe's got is shooting at stuff. But well, somebody told him it would be a good idea.
Actually, some like progressive types, like Kyle Kalinske from Secular Talk, who I generally like. I don't agree with him on everything. I think he can be a little bit, you know, loony on some stuff. But he thought she was brilliant. He thought it was an absolutely brilliant ad on Joe Manchin's part. Because he's, like, talking about how because in there he talks about Patrick Morrissey wanted to take away people's health care protections, pre-existing conditions. And
that's what I was about to say, John. That issue is real. I mean, it's pretty clear Patrick Morrissey would prefer for all the people who have health care through the Medicaid expansion in this state not to have it anymore. He's abundantly clear on that. He's joined in lawsuits over the Affordable Care Act. And Joe voted the right way when it came time to vote on whether to keep the Affordable Care Act alive. So, I mean, it's kind of demeaning, okay? It makes a one-trick pony out of West Virginia voters, and we are far more complex than that. Trump got 68% of the vote in 2016, but that means there's 32% of us that didn't.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
And we're not all just gun humpers, okay? It was an attempt to rebrand his previous firearms expertise.
Yeah. And try to seem like a typical West Virginian with a Republican mindset.
But I'm still trying to figure out how in 2018 it's a good idea to shoot things in political ads, considering everything this country's been through.
Right. Right. And Michael Moore's new movie talks about a lot about the March for Our Lives movement. And it actually has people, he goes into their headquarters, for the kids' headquarters, and it's amazing. Isn't it amazing what those kids from March of Our Lives, for Our Lives are doing? They organized that big event in Washington with absolutely no adult help at all. None. I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. We couldn't do that ourselves.
No.
Huh. Go here, Bob. I just wanted to get a couple of words in with you. I won't be able to talk for a while.
Well,
I'm glad.
I'm glad you didn't. You know, I'm glad you didn't. You know, just like tune out or anything.
No, I'm still following you.
Okay, cool. You know, if you have to take, you know, the podcast works too. So, if anything lights you up, feel free to drop a note since you're working second shift.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, John, you take care. I'm glad. I'm glad you found good work. Are you still playing? Are you still jamming?
Yep. Yes, I am.
Good deal. Well,
he's doing it, you know?
All right.
And tell him to keep up the good work.
All right, will do. Take care.
Yep, you too.
Later now. Somebody, John from PA. Good to hear from him. Note coming in from Jack in Shreveport, kicking out Republicans. Around here, when Republican voters want to kick out a Republican in office, they'll say the problem is that the one in office is just not conservative enough. And then they'll keep voting in the same policies over and over and over again. By the way, now there's been a response from the Kavanaugh camp to his Renata alumnus crap. Doesn't really hold much water. Alexandra Walsh, who is his lawyer, says, Judge Kavanaugh was friends with Renata Dolphin in high school. He admired her very much then, and he admires her to this day. They attended one high school event together and shared a brief kiss goodnight following that event. They had no other such encounter. The language from Judge Kavanaugh's high school yearbook refers to the fact that he and Miss Dolphin attended that one high school event together and nothing else. Okay? Shut the fuck up.
Well, Miss Dolphin told the New York Times that she never kissed him. Never, not once, and he must have me confused with someone else.
Let's see. Keg City Club, Treasurer, 100 kegs or bust. Ann Darty's, I survived the FFFFF 4th of July. Renata alumnus. Find 'em, French 'em, finger 'em, fuck 'em, forget 'em. That must have been a whole lot of kisses there, seeing as how Renata alumnus appears among a whole bunch of his football buddies. Yeah. How about that? Oh, and by the way, he says he couldn't have raped her or even tried to rape her because he was a virgin. Well, she doesn't say that he raped her. She says he tried. Big difference. And what are we supposed to take from that? Virgins can't rape? And his Fox News star turn is being broadly panned for the piece of crap that it was.
He still claims he wasn't at the party where Dr. Ford was. But, hey, can't know that because she hasn't given a date for it. But when he released his schedule of that year, it showed several events with Judge. I've never sexually assaulted anyone. Not in high school. Not ever. You know, call me crazy, but I've never sexually assaulted anyone is not the same thing as saying I never attempted to sexually assault anyone. Mm-hmm. Over and over again in the interview, he says, I have never sexually assaulted anyone. I've always treated women with dignity and respect. Ashley then says that she knows his heart, and it's hard for her to believe. Our faith is strong, and we know we're on the right path. Mm. And the stuff with Deborah Ramirez never happened. It would have been the talk of the campus, he claimed, if it had. However, the New Yorker, in its work, said there have been extensive conversations in various groups and listservs, where Kavanaugh's classmates have wondered when this story would finally become public. And by the way, when he was in high school, he spent most of his time going to church, working on charitable projects and academics and sports. He said there was a whole lot of drinking in high school, but he didn't confess to doing any of it. Jesus Christ. You know, withdraw already. Because that's the thing that rides behind all of this. If he withdraws, there's... remember, we're talking about a list maintained by the Federalist Society. If he withdraws, there's somebody every bit as odious right behind him. But you know, we're coming up on 2 years from Election Day, and I don't think a president that close to running a re-election campaign needs to be trying to appoint any Supreme Court justices. I mean, at least that's what chinless Mitch McConnell says, right? Bill in Allentown wants to form the fraternity of PA. There's at least three of us from PA, John and Randy and myself. Just an inquiry. Well, you know, form your group and... You can apply. So that's pretty much it for this evening. Thanks everybody for joining in. Thank you for spending your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thank you to everybody who keeps the horn going. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you to all of you who got us through September. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Keep getting well, Steve, from Georgia Stan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Who knows what tomorrow brings.